the first thing I noticed about your church was your banner, No Agenda But Jesus. I've been a Christian for a while now, like over 2 weeks. I think like all of our Christian lives, any one of you who've been a Christian for over 2 weeks knows that there's changes that happen in our lives and in our hearts, and the way that we see the kingdom, the way that we see the church, the way that we see God. What I've really come to understand, I would say that probably my Christian experience has become more simple as I've become, have spent more time with Jesus. And my desires have become simpler too. It really is about Jesus. It really is about relationship with Jesus. There's only two things that we take with us when we die. And it's definitely not the stuff that you drive around in or the stuff that you live in. It's your relationship with Jesus and God and your relationship with his people, with the family of God. And today I want to talk to you about an area that God really began to put on my heart when I was a very, very young Christian. Began to speak to me about it at a time when I really, it seemed like in the body of Christ, this was an area that people talked about, but didn't, had different ideas about what it was for. And it has to do with hearing the voice of God. And before I start, I want to share something that I felt God speaking to me about with regards to your group. I just want to share this with you first, and then I want to talk to you about something that I felt God speaking to me about. We do talk a lot about hearing the voice of God. It's an area that God has asked us to speak on in different places but I find that in almost every church that we're asked by the Spirit of God to minister in, that there's something different that he wants to say about it. I would love to be one of those guys that has, you know, two or three really good messages that you know, I can almost just rattle off without, you know, and really get people excited. And I'm not that guy. If you're looking to sort of get all worked up this morning, then you're going to be disappointed. You're probably going to leave before we're done. So I want to share this with you. I felt God speaking to me that there's been a purging in this church that's left you with people that are truly committed to the purposes of God for this house. While this purging was not by the hand of God, the intention that God has is to bring about beauty from the ashes and joy in place of grief. What the enemy intended for evil, God will change to good, and you'll be given a greater sense of God's intimacy and closeness in the days to come than you've experienced in the past. I am with this group, and I dwell in each of you who has given yourself to me. In the days to come, you will experience what the early church lived as a normal thing, a true moving of the Spirit of God, leading regular, everyday people to do amazing, extraordinary things through the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Now, as I was receiving this for your church, God began to kind of birth some things and speak some things to me. And the first thing that he spoke to me about is that the key to this happening in your midst is nothing more than having the desire for intimacy with Jesus, the risen Lord. It's the pursuit for intimacy with Jesus that will change your life and make it supernatural. And I felt that this was the heart of what I needed to share with you. Your banner says it all. There is no agenda but Jesus. If you ever get confused about that, God will help you to figure it out very quickly. See, I was going to talk about some different things here. about the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice, and as I started to do this, I really felt the Spirit of God speaking to me about a more important truth, that Jesus desires more from us than an ability to do great things for him. The ability to hear the voice of God, to be a sheep that hears God's voice, for many people is, it's like a launch pad to ministry. I've had so many people come and say to me, Mark, I want to be able to prophesy, so because I know that people really pay attention to prophets. And sometimes I laugh when they say that. not because I'm pretending to be a prophet and have experienced the opposite of that, but because if you recall your Bible, the prophets were not the most loved group of people. And Jesus himself was not the most loved person on the planet at that time, loved by those who respected and knew God, but certainly not the rest of the world. They pretty much put him on a cross, although it wasn't actually them, obviously. But see, this area of hearing the voice of God, Jesus desires more than just an ability to do things. He wants more than obedient slaves who carry out his purposes on earth. Each one of you has a central purpose that most Christians don't really understand. A common central purpose. And that is relationship with God. But not just a relationship of... See, there's lots of different relationships that we can have with God. We can have a father-son relationship, a more intimate relationship, or we can have a master-slave relationship. It can be an employee-employer relationship. What Jesus is really shooting for is an intimate relationship. What Jesus refers to us as at different times is the bride of Christ. This is the most intimate relationship that humans can actually possess. Even in a father-son relationship, there's no real choice that's made by the son to be in that relationship. But in a marriage relationship, and this is why Satan attacks our marriage, because at the very heart of our relationship with God is this marriage relationship. In a marriage relationship, two people consciously choose to become one person, to have intimacy with each other, to live their lives together, to choose to make decisions together, to walk a path together. I have 5 girls and a boy. 4 of them are married. One of them is like this close, pretty sure. And one of the things that we always talk about with our kids who are about to be married is that your purposes, your plans, your goals, the plan of God for your life is about to be fused with another person. It will change. Change is coming to your life because the creation of a new person is not going to be an easy thing. And in this amazing intimate relationship that God is calling us to, there's this change of purpose, change of destiny. But it's much more than that. We don't get married because we have plans, because we want to build an empire or an industry, or you know, we really need to have another person to work alongside of us doing things. It's a sharing of our life. And it's out of our love in a good marriage, it's out of our love and our commitment and our desire to be with that other person that fruit results. Hopefully you didn't get married just so you could have kids. I hope there's nobody here that said to their wife, you know, when they were proposing, and said, you look like you're someone that could really bear children well. You know, I'm pretty sure you ended up marrying someone else if you did try that approach. You know, you love that person. You care deeply for them. And you felt this amazing connection. And you were ready and willing to sacrifice for them. And so you became one. And out of that love, out of that partnership. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, if you're without children, somehow your marriage is failing. That's the furthest thing from my mind, or it should be from your mind. But you understand, fruit is the result of intimacy in the kingdom of God in particular. Jesus talks about this central purpose in John chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. Now, I'm going to be, pretty much everything that I'm going to be quoting from is from the New International, New American Standard. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him... Now, this is Jesus speaking in the garden. He's speaking to God and talking about something important. It says, you gave him authority over all flesh, referring to himself, that to all you have given him, he may give eternal life. He talks about what his actual purpose was in coming. He says, you gave me authority over all flesh, so that I could give them eternal life. And then he does something interesting. He actually defines what that eternal life is. I remember when I got saved, I thought eternal life meant I didn't have to go to hell. And that was a good thing. I thought, okay, well, no, that works for me. You know, I'm really not looking forward to burning in hell. You know, and literally, I had just watched a whole bunch of those end time movies where people's heads were getting cut off and Jesus had come back. And you know, the poor fools who got left behind, they were... either, you know, killing Christians or becoming Christians that got killed. And I thought it would be a good thing for me to probably get saved. And that's what I thought eternal life was. But Jesus says this. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, I went to, I lived in Regina for a while and was going to a really small Bible school there, run by a local church, and there was this other really huge Bible school. It was the Canadian Bible College. Like, our Bible school had like 30 or 40 students in total. Their Bible school had like 800 graduating students. And for some reason, they invited us to come and listen to this fellow talking, and for the first time in my life, I heard someone talking about intimacy with God, relationship with God. This guy came, and he started speaking about relationship with God. I've been a Christian for about 4 years at that time. I was like 18. And he shared about how the word for know used in Scripture, that knowing someone, you know, where it talks about knowing God, that in the Old Testament especially, and I realize this isn't an Old Testament passage, but in the Old Testament, the same word for knowing God is actually used to talk about knowing someone intimately in a marriage relationship, like Adam knew his wife. That didn't mean that he, you know, memorized the color of her eyes and you know, what kind of hair she had. It was that he had a sexual intimate relationship with him. And he started talking about how this kind of relationship with God was what is intended by God Himself with us. Now, please, before you throw me into something and say, how dare you talk about God like that? What he's talking about is a relationship so intimate that we actually become physically connected with God. We actually become connected in our thinking and in our emotions and in our spirit with God. The marriage relationship is supposed to be like that. Lots of times it fails to become that, but that is what God intends in our relationship with Him. So when it says here that we're supposed to know God, it doesn't mean that that we all have to go to Bible school and that we, you know, we learn all kinds of facts about God. There's nothing that's not useful about that. It's just that I went to Bible school for 3 years. It's actually a four-year program. I went for free. That tells you a little bit about, you know, some of my how spiritual I am, dropping out of Bible school. The whole thing is that we can know a lot about God and still not know Him. Just like you can know a lot about your wife and not really know her, not really have that intimacy. And see, I'm trying to go somewhere here with this. The reality is that this eternal life that's being talked about here, this is what we are called into. This is the only life worth experiencing. If you become a Christian and you start thinking that, okay, I'm a Christian now, I'm going to be happy and fulfilled by doing lots of things for God, or by learning lots of things about the Scripture, or memorizing the Bible, or all of those are really good things. You know, ministering to lots of people. All of those are good things. But you're actually missing the central point. If we were just another religion, then all of that would be enough. But we are not. Christianity is not a religion. It was never intended by God to be a religion, a system of belief. Christianity is contact with the living God. It is intimacy. It is Jesus died on a cross not so that you could become a really good servant of His. Because, you know, clearly He needs lots of help getting this world straightened around. You know, He needs lots of workers, lots of soldiers. Jesus died on the cross so that your sin could be removed from your life and that the Holy Spirit could live inside of you. That's the end game. God wanted to live inside of you. That is the very beginning of our marriage relationship with God. It's the oneness. It's the start of that. But like any marriage relationship, you can enter into that relationship and never feel happy, never feel like you have intimacy with this other person. My wife and I went on a cruise for one of our anniversaries, and we were supposed to. There was like a Bible study going on, and we thought, well, you know, maybe we should go. And we didn't, you know, so we went. And there's supposed to be a guy showing up to do the Bible study who never showed up. And so there's about, I don't know, maybe a dozen of us sitting around or so. And someone, I think he was an elder in a church of some sort. And so he popped up and looked like a guy that, you know, knew how to be in charge and stuff like that. And he said, you know what, we should just do our own Bible study. And he said, if anybody has anything to share, then you just come up here and share. So people were sharing things, and as I was sitting there, God said, well, why don't you share a little bit about hearing the voice of God? And so I thought, yeah, okay. So I got up and I started sharing about hearing God's voice, and after I finished, this guy that had started the whole thing and stood up and said, well, I've been a Christian for years. I've never heard God's voice. He said, you must have some sort of a special relationship with God. And, you know, you must have a special gift. And so I spoke up again and I said, well, I said, are you married? And he said to me, yeah, I'm married. This is my wife right here. And I said, well, good. You know, I was a leader in a church. You know, I mean, I said, well, what do you, how would your relationship be if you weren't to speak to her? He sort of looked at me and said, well, I said, well, because I know what it would be like for me if I, you know, was married to my wife and I never ever talked to her. You know, maybe just wrote her notes every once in a while and slipped them under the door to her, and then she would read them, and you know, we could kind of communicate back and forth like that. Would that be okay? You know, and, well, maybe. But wouldn't it be better if we talked to each other? I said, you've been married for 30 years. I said, and you communicate with your wife. You talk to her. Maybe it's not always verbal, but there's a lot of communication that goes on. And I said, the more that you want intimacy and relationship with your wife, the more that you're going to communicate with her. I said, the way I see Scripture is that if God really wants us to know Him and really wants us to be the bride of Christ, then He's going to communicate with us. And we're going to communicate with Him. And it's not just going to be me always talking to Him, always telling Him what I want or what I'm thinking. It's going to be the other way as well. And this is the point that I want to bring across here today, is that when it comes to hearing the voice of God, God really has one very simple intention: to bring you into a closer relationship with Him. And the people around you in a closer relationship with Him. If you start to imagine that hearing God's voice is going to make you a better minister, you'll be thinking the truth. If you start to think that hearing the voice of God is going to make you famous and interesting and maybe help fund your ministry, now you're heading off into areas of idolatry. The reality is that God speaks to us because He wants us to know of His love for Him. He wants us to have intimacy with Him. He wants to treat us like His bride. He wants us to experience the same kind of relationship with Him that we will experience in heaven. That's why it's called eternal life. It starts here, and it never ends. It begins the moment that you ask Jesus to come into your life. It begins the moment the Holy Spirit fills your life. That Holy Spirit is there not to make you some sort of super servant. That Holy Spirit is there because God wants to make His home in you. He wants intimacy with you. And if it ever becomes something other than that in your life, then whatever gift you have will very quickly become a problem in your life and a problem to the people around you. Not saying that to scare you away from the gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit should be the natural consequence of the love of Jesus. Just like children are the natural consequence of consequences. Sometimes I don't like consequences. Having seven of them myself, I can say that. Best thing that happens other than the love that we experience. And we have to get out of kind of a religious mindset of that forces us to areas of perfection and performance and doing things for approval and all of those things. The very nature says God wants to do it. He wants it badly, so badly that He expects almost nothing from us capable of doing things for his own selfish purposes. That's what it means to have a God of love. He is not capable of doing something selfish for himself in your life. He can't. See, this area, the voice of God, once you understand that it is about God wanting to have me experience intimacy and help others experience intimacy, it will change how you live your Christian life. Because real life, eternal life, just keeps getting better and better. You will never outgrow your relationship with God, the intimacy you can have with God. You'll never live long. And after a billion years, God still has lived for an eternity before that. There are things about God that are still going to surprise you. If your goal in hearing God's voice is to get hard and to learn how to do certain things, you'll come to the end of that. And that won't be very fulfilling after a while. But you'll never come to the end of experiencing relationship with God and knowing God. It just grows bigger and more powerful. Just like getting to know your wife or your children. Just when you think you know her, she changes on you. Sometimes in a good way. I mean, always in a good way. That's what I meant to say. What were the two greatest commandments of Jesus? What did Jesus say was the greatest commandment? You can tell me. Love the Lord your God. And that was taken right from a teacher of the law. The teacher of the law knew what a lot of Christians don't know. Not that he lived it, or that you necessarily would find it easy to live under the law, but love the Lord your God. This is in Luke 10, 25 to 27. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? How do I get eternal life? Love the Lord your God. And then he says, and your neighbor is your servant. See, I'm talking today about hearing the voice of God, but the reality is that hearing God's voice has more to do with our intimacy and love for God than a series of steps and guidelines on how God speaks to us. We could go through and talk about, okay, you know, do this, this, and this, and then you'll start hearing God in this area. You can throw all that stuff away, or you can hang on. The reality is this. If you pursue intimacy with God, hearing God's voice will come as naturally as a child hearing his father's voice. When I call my house, sometimes I used to travel a little bit with my work, and I'd call the house, and someone on the other end of the line would pick it up. I would know instantly who it was. But my wife, sometimes they have friends over, usually. And, you know, obviously if my boy picked it up, I would know right away. But a lot of my girls sound sweet. But I know my children. I know my wife. Unless I have a bad line, I can tell right away who I'm talking to. But someone who doesn't know my family, who calls, will quite often mistake my wife, my kids, or my son, me, or you know, me for one of the girls. I mean, you know, God is going to lead you. You are not as committed to hearing God's voice as he is to you learning how to hear his voice. And he is going to is that if you pursue this area of hearing the voice of God, it's really the same as pursuing intimacy with God. For those of you, and I'm talking mostly to the guys here, and probably speaking from my own experience, so if you don't fall into the category, don't be offended. For those of you who don't really value relationship with people or intimacy with people, you've been hurt, you've been, or you just have had situations where you've concluded that you know, friendships and people, that's just too risky, too dangerous. That is going to change when you come in contact with the Holy Spirit. And as you pursue the voice of God, what you're going to discover is that God is going to bring you into relationship. That bugs you to hear that. If that's something that you'd rather not hear, if you want me to say things like, well, if you really pursue the voice of God and allow God to speak to you, that, you know, he'll help you to become famous, or he'll help you to become a good prophet, or he'll help you to accomplish amazing things that other people will notice, your life won't be without value. If you're waiting for me to say that, or waiting for God to kind of, no. It's not going to work. You will actually become, if you don't understand that this is about intimacy, you'll become a danger to yourself and to the people around you. Because God will always use his voice to draw us into relationship, into intimacy. Now, here's what Jesus said about the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is in John 16, verse 7 to 14. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So, the disciples are all freaking out because Jesus is about to die on the cross. He's been with them for 3.5 years. They were pretty sure he was going to set up a kingdom, wipe out the Romans, and that this was, you know, they were going to be made rulers of Australia and stuff like that. And so all of a sudden he says to them, well, actually, I have to go away. I'm going to die, in fact. And they're like, what? This is not what we signed up for 3.5 years ago. How can you do this to us? This is the worst news ever. And Jesus says, well, actually, no, this is good news. Hold on there. This is actually really good news. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you. He says, I've got lots of stuff to teach you guys. It's 3.5 years, but there's so much more. But you cannot bear them now. You're not ready for everything that I have to share with you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. So Jesus says to them, there's a really great deal about to happen. It's even better than what you've got right now. Each one of you is going to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and I am going to disclose to that Spirit what I want you to know about your life. Not just about your life, but about what I want to know for other people to know. Now, if you're a dispensationalist type guy, and that's a big word that basically means that God was really nice to these guys, but, you know, not as nice to us when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and things like that, then you're not necessarily going to believe that this applies to you. And if that's the case, I feel bad for you, because this is a great deal right here. Basically saying that every one of you that has the Holy Spirit in you has a counselor that is the voice of Jesus that can guide you, direct you, lead you into all truth. What does all truth mean? Well, it means anything that you need to know that's true is available to you. It's simple. You can look in the Greek and everything, and that's what you'll find. It's truth. It means something that's true. Pretty sure. If you are a Christian and filled with the Spirit, you will be guided into all truth. This is even better than Jesus in the flesh. I remember when I became a Christian, I wish I was around when Jesus came, especially because at that time, the church I was part of said there were no gifts of the Spirit. There was none of this, you know, none of the cool stuff. And I remember having a talk to my pastor, and I thought, I was born like 2,000 years too late. So annoying. And then one day my pastor came back and actually came in contact with the Holy Spirit and started showing me, wait a minute, it still is true today. Now, you have a counselor. John chapter 14, 16 to 21 says some interesting things about this. It's not just for the special few, all of you. Says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This deal is only for those that have accepted Jesus, who have received Jesus. The world cannot receive this because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, this is important. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying that he's going to come to us through the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of us. And the relationship is not master-slave. He didn't say here, I'm not going to leave you without without an employer. I'm not going to leave you without a master. I'm not going to leave you without a Lord. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I am going to establish a family relationship with you. That's important. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Not turning you into a slave. He's turning you into a son and a daughter and a lover. He goes on and says this, he who has my commandments. Now, how would we have his commandments, I wonder? He's not referring to, he doesn't say here, he who has the law, he who has teaching about morality, he who has my commandments. Now we get all, that word for commandments is, we think of that as being like, okay, you know, I'm filled with the Spirit, God's speaking to me, I'm just going to get a whole series of directives, of voice commands, telling me what to do everywhere. He's really talking about those who I communicate with and keeps those commandments, listens to it, does something with it, is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now, sometimes people look at that and they go, okay, well, I have to read the Bible, and then I need to memorize the things I need to do, and if I do those things, God will love me. I'm lucky enough to actually do all of them. Well, we kind of know from about 100 other scriptures that God doesn't love us because we follow his commandments. That part's pretty clear in scripture. It's called grace. And honestly, if God loves us only because we actually do what he says, there wouldn't be enough living to bury the dead. You all know what I'm talking about. This is talking about the fact that the commandments that we receive, the communication we receive from God through his word to us, not just the written word, through this amazing communication, this counselor, because that's the entire context he's talking about here. When the counselor comes and communicates with us, the purpose is to produce in us love, an abiding, an ability to connect with God, to have intimacy with God. See, the Word of God comes to us and begins to do things in our life. God communicates with us in many different ways. When you start to hear the voice of God, God will come to you and say to you, Mark, you should really do this. But he also will come to you and will say, Mark, I really do love you. Or Mark, I really do want this so much for you. Or Mark, this area is destroying your life. Mark, this area is hurting the people around you. And all of these things, all of this communication I receive, and it's not just communication. There's different ways God communicates with us. We don't have to receive a direct word from God, especially when we're learning to hear God's voice, to know, for example, that, you know, going and shooting someone with a gun is bad, right? Is there anyone confused about that? That, you know, we really shouldn't be running around shooting people? I mean, we know from Scripture that that's bad, and it's irritating to people too. But as we become people who understand that God is communicating with us and become tuned in to the voice of God, what begins to happen is that God begins to build in our lives, build in our spirits, build in our emotions, build in our thinking, going after the areas in our life that prevent us from experiencing his love for us. God's love for us doesn't change. While we were still sinners, the Bible says, Jesus died for us. This is how we know about God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world. It doesn't say he loved, you know, Christians. He gave his only begotten Son. The world. Before we became a Christian, he loved us as much as he possibly could. His love for us doesn't change, but our understanding and our perception of his love changes. I have I've had children in my home that at different times haven't really liked me very much, haven't felt that I love them, because I've had to do things that would prevent them from becoming, armed robbers later on in life. I've had to kind of, you know, nip that stuff in the bud. Why? Because of the intensity of my love for them. So many times as parents, and you know this, it's easier to let the kids just do what they want to do, because we're concerned about whether they'll like us after we discipline them. That's not love. Love is where we step in and we say, I'm sorry, you're not going to like me for a little bit. You might, in fact, you know, it might even be a week. But this is going to happen right now, because I don't want this to be something that harms you later on. And God's love for us never changes, no matter how good we are at understanding it. But the more that God changes us, the more we begin to understand how much he loves us. We begin to see the depth of that love. We begin to experience it in powerful ways. The voice of God has a way of cracking open our lives and turning us into people who see truth and understand God, who see God as he really is. Not the way the world sees him, as this impetuous mist floating through the universe that every once in a while, you know, comes down and smacks somebody on the back of the head if they annoy him a lot. We begin to understand who God really is. This is what the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, does. And that's why it says here, he who has my commandments, my communication, listens to them, keeps them, is the one who loves me. You allow God to begin to speak to you, you will begin to love him. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. You'll experience more of God's love than you've ever experienced before, not because there's more available to you now, but because you are more receptive to it. You're more capable of receiving it now. I remember when I first became a Christian, and I was about a week into it, or actually the day I became a Christian, I just felt like I'd been hit with a love bomb. I mean, I was this weird little 14-year-old, and was about to be sent off to military school by my parents because I was out of control. And I put up my hand in a service, and where some guy was talking about receiving Jesus, and I've been going to this church for a year, probably heard this message 1,000 times. Put up my hand, and bam! It was just like I felt like this power came into my life. And this was a church that didn't even believe in the Holy... Well, they believed in the Holy Spirit. But they just, you know, they didn't really see how the Holy Spirit could speak to people. And it was just like, wham! And I literally felt like I'd been possessed by something. But it was a good thing. I felt high. Remember my cousin came over that afternoon and said, "Hey, Mark, why don't we go fishing?" He's my older cousin. I love being around him. And, you know, and I said, "No, I'm just going to stay home and I'm going to pray." And he kind of looked at me like I was on Mars or something and said, "What? Since when do you pray?" Well, you know, since about an hour ago. It's important for us to understand this underlying principle of the voice of God. If the Holy Spirit speaks to us, He will guide us into a life of devotion to Jesus. If that's not what you're after in hearing the voice of God, you are wasting your time. This will produce in us a greater understanding of the love the Father has for us and a deeper and deeper intimacy with Jesus. The chapter on abiding in the vine and producing fruit follows this little discourse, because those of you that are worried, and at that time that were worried, the apostles, about not producing fruit because you're too focused on intimacy with God, I've sometimes had this thing where people have come, well, if I'm just all just, you know, just wanting, loving Jesus and stuff like that, then how's the work of the kingdom going to get done? It's sort of like, what? Do you do stuff for your wife because, you know, that's what she demands? Or do you do it because you love to do stuff for your wife? And the chapter on abiding in the vine, I think this is why this chapter on abiding in the vine is after chapter 14 and before 16, where Jesus talks about the counselor. John chapter 15 and 7 to 11. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So he talks about this. He starts out good for the people that really want to, you know, get the kingdom stuff done. He starts out just the way they want to hear it. Bear much fruit. Prove to be my disciples. Abide in me. My words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish will be done for you. And then he says this, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. First of all, he talks about abiding in his words. Then he talks about abiding in my love. Why? Because it's the same thing. Jesus is the Word. God is love. Jesus is God. God is after this love relationship. It's that simple. And the fruit that you bear will occur if you abide in that love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. I really hope that this is clear. See, this area of the voice of God is such an exciting area to many people. And it is. It should be, honestly. I mean, once you understand that you can have a relationship with God where you literally can walk with God. This is being led by the Spirit. This is what we're designed to do. This is where Adam started out. Honestly. Adam in the garden, walking around with God. God introducing him to the animals. Taking him on adventures. They walk their life together. And then one day Adam says, you know, I would like to kind of figure some of this stuff out for myself. I don't know if I really need God to sort of be talking to me all the time and telling me stuff. There's got to come a point where I can just do this on my own. And that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that looks like the key. If that will make me like God, where I can figure out for myself what's good and bad, what's right and wrong, what I can do and not do, where I can just be like God, and I don't really need to hear his voice anymore, That's the ticket for me. I want to have that independence. And so he takes that fruit, and this is where we are. The coming of the Holy Spirit and the cross and Jesus, this is bringing us back to the garden, where we now have the ability to walk with God in the same way that Adam did, living inside of us. Do you understand how important this is? This is the new covenant, the law being written in our hearts, not on tablets of stone anymore, tablets of human hearts. And what's he writing there? What kind of a law is he putting there? The law of intimacy with Christ, the relationship that Adam had. You really think God needed Adam in the garden, you know, to keep those flowers blooming? Honestly, not a chance. God is really good at growing stuff. He wanted Adam for relationship. Now, there's three questions that I wanted to express and then answer very quickly before we do a couple things here. First thing is, isn't the voice of God for special individuals with special gifts? Right? The nine gifts, there's prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Well, as we've talked about, if you are a spirit-filled believer, you have a Holy Spirit within you desperate to communicate with you and guide you into greater love with the Father. We're the bride of Christ. It's crazy to think that the only way that God wants to communicate with us is through letters that were written to us. I love the Bible. It is the basis of our faith. But that's not the end of God's communication to us. In fact, if you read your Bible, you'll discover that God wants to communicate with us personally and individually, every one of us. The second question was, why is it hard for me to hear the voice of God clearly? I mean, that was my question. When I found out that this stuff in the Bible is true, I thought, well, what's wrong with me? You know, do I have a disease? Is there some sort of, you know, weird thing that... I just want to throw some things out, because there are reasons that it can be difficult for us to hear God's voice. In some ways, we all have hearing impediments. You know, we all have things. If we were like one generation away from Adam, then this might all be easier for us, but we're not. But that's okay. The Holy Spirit is really good at fixing this stuff. God speaks to us in different ways, first of all. And the biggest problem many times is that we don't realize how chatty God is. God is chatty. He loves to talk to us. He's not that tired dad that comes home from work at the end of the day and is really annoyed from having to talk to people all day long and just doesn't have time to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. But if you don't believe that, then you're never going to hear him. You're never going to believe that God is actually trying to speak to you. There's lies in our lives that tell us that God doesn't want to talk to us. And those lies need to be dealt with. Some have trouble hearing the voice of God because of religious beliefs that have left you with the idea and the lie that God is not interested in speaking to you. Some of you might think that because you have sin in your life, that you've been a Christian for so long and you haven't really been that productive, that now God is kind of finished with you. You know, maybe that's why God isn't talking to you. No, God is talking to you. But if you believe that lie, then it'll be very difficult for God to get through. Our minds and our emotions have a very powerful influence over our ability to hear God's voice when there are these lies and strongholds that are built there. Everything that God tries to communicate, especially personally to us, through the voice of God, needs to come through our mind. And if your mind is blocking that because it's basically saying, no, that can't be God, I'm not going to get deceived by that, then it can be difficult. Some have trouble hearing the voice of God because there are other voices in your life drowning out or changing what God is trying to communicate to you. Some of these voices include things like friends that are telling you that God's not real, or that this is not something that you can experience for yourself. You know, this fellow that I talked to that said, you know, I've been a Christian for 30 years, God's never talked to me, it must be something special. There's a deep lie birthed there, and it didn't just come from him. Idols in the form of people that we rely upon over God, and the world's counsel that prevent us from waiting to hear what God would say to us. Some have trouble hearing because of demonic issues. There can be demonic issues at work in our lives. Some hear God's voice but don't realize what it is, and don't realize God speaking to them. Think of the story of Samuel. Even Eli, the priest, had at first some difficulty realizing that his protege, Samuel, was actually being spoken to by God. Samuel thought he was hearing the voice of Eli when God was talking to him, until finally his spiritual authority said to him, you know, this is the third time you've come to me. You're really starting to annoy me. I'm trying to get some sleep here. Try this next time. Say to God, God, say what you want. And then just listen. Some are struggling with certain types of sin that effectively make hearing God's voice dangerous for you. There are certain kinds of sin that, if we allow them to be part of our lives, will actually prevent God from speaking to us, because that sin will alter God's voice in such a way that it will lead us into a lot of difficult things. I'm just going to mention a few of these, but areas of sexual immorality, powerful, powerful area, changes the way that we interpret love, the way that we interpret God himself, because God is love, and the way that we receive the voice of God. Unforgiveness. If you want to cut yourself off from hearing God's voice, just get all caught up in bitterness and unforgiveness. Allow that to destroy your life. And rebellion against church leadership. That's an important one, because in many ways, God will use leadership in your church to guide you, to help you to understand even when you're hearing God's voice. If you're without a covering and you're rebelling against the leadership of your local church, guess what kingdom you're aligning yourself with? And guess what voice is going to start having an ability to speak into your life? So how do we overcome these issues? I mean, now don't get me wrong. God is committed, so committed, to giving you the ability to hear the voice of God. So none of these problems, none of these issues are things that God is concerned about. How do we overcome these issues? Pursue relationship and meaningful contact with the Spirit of God. These things act as impediments, but the reality is that all change that God is seeking in our life is targeted towards changing us into people who love God and his people.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.